Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you could be with me today on this ninth day of May 2021. It is going fast. When you get old, it just goes really fast. Today, we're going to talk about personality, persona. This is a really big subject, I have to tell you, and I hope that I'm able to cover some of it. I'll never get through all of it. The persona of a person. What is our personality exactly? Well, according to the dictionary, it is the combination of characteristics or qualities that form an individual's distinctive character. Now, I disagree with that, but it isn't about their character. It's about their habits. It's about their inclinations. It is about their genetic inclinations. It is about genetics and DNA. Our persona are the characteristics that we have chosen to bring out or have been brought out impulsively from our genetics, things that we have chosen from our ancestors, our forefathers, as it was and is. And if you look at your personality, some people have a personality that's very much akin to their parents, and some have it to their grandparents. And like depression is a part of a personality. It is a condition, a mental, emotional condition, a biology, and that has something to do with affecting the personality. And most of us, including me and everyone I know, we all have a personality disorder. This is defined as a deeply ingrained pattern of behavior of a specified kind, especially manifested by the time one reaches adolescence, causing long-term difficulties in personal relationships or functioning in society. All of that is true. We all have it. If you're a product of this society, which most of us are, in fact, all of us are, in our human point, you're going to have this. This is going to be there in you, typically. You're going to have ingrained impulsive traits that formulate your values, your beliefs, your theories, your ideals, and how far they go depends upon how far you want to go with your personality disorder. What would be a personality disorder? Judging another person harshly, that I would consider a very, or even judging them at all. I would, that's where I would go with it. Personally speaking, that would definitely be it. And we all do in the background. A personality disorder would be where we come from within ourselves, our unconscious mind, and living off that unconscious mind and having our own personality niches, cliques inside where we're prejudiced against this, that, or the other in our lifetime. It could be people, it could be pigment, it could be what we think of as a religious belief. There's all sorts of personality disorders, too numerous to mention. But all of this, I want you to understand, lives inside every human being. How far you and I go with this, that is the issue. So when you look at your own prejudices, your own biases, that is a personality disorder because it affects the way I live with another person or how I operate in a relationship or how I function in society. So those are the definitions of a personality and its disorder. And so Whoa, that was a lot for early morning here, but there you are. And I get questions about this, which I dearly love from people. And if you ever have any kind of question on your personality or any of this, always feel free to contact me, greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. And you can ask questions for the radio program. So let's get into a couple of the questions here. First one from Rick in Long Beach, California. How do I adjust my personality to fit the woman I love? I chose you, Rick, right off the bat. I couldn't help it. These relationship things, you know, because we have no love in our hearts, we have no love, no authentic love. We do not see what real relationship is all about because we only have our emotional heart, our human heart, and that's what we go by, which causes a lot of personality disorders. And so what happens, he goes into this long dissertation in his email, which was very well written, by the way. I want to say that to you, Rick, very well written. And he basically says, you know, I married this woman or dated this woman, and then there was a change when he proposed to her, and then a big change after the wedding. And it didn't take long, probably a month or two, he said. So how do I adjust my personality to fit the woman I love? Well, I don't know really, you know, what you want to do about this and how far you want to go. The things you described to me were very interesting, Rick, that she wants you to be more gentlemanly. She wants you to make more money so she can rise in status and have a better home than she's had before, things like that. So she wants you to be the man of her dreams, and you want to fit the man of her dreams, as you said in your email. And you're going about it like, what do I have to give up? What do I have to do? What do I have to say? What don't I say? Blah, blah, blah. And all of this just will go on and on and on inside you to nauseam. You will forget who and what you're all about, in the sense of, can this love between the two of you, what you call love, change to authentic love? Can a relationship teach us the awakening? Not how to get along with one another, not our personality quirks or disorders. It would help if you knew what your disorders were. Not to make a better life for the two of you so you don't have arguments all the time. The purpose of relationship is, like everything in this world, it is to awaken. Spiritually speaking, it is to have consciousness. So if she is asking you to change maybe some of your habits, such as maybe not, well, she doesn't want you to swear anymore, but maybe the double standard thing would be a good place to start. You have to ask yourself, who did I marry? Why did I marry? What is the standard here? And if she has standards that she goes by that you feel are elevating, then maybe that would be helpful for you to understand. But if she has standards that she lives by that are no better than your own, and she wants you to apply yourself to her standards, there's an issue. There's a problem. So both of you are ingrained in your own way to some sort of persona. And what you have to ask yourself is, can I be in this persona, and can I start to tear it apart to mature? Because a relationship cannot thrive and live under persona. you both of you are going to have to look at this and ask, can I live beyond my personality? Can I live beyond the concept of my persona? Can I live beyond my bias, my prejudice, my emotional inclinations, my impulses? Can I love you directly, not from my biases, but from the authentic that lives within me, the true heart? So it isn't about adjusting your persona. Actually, it's about letting go of your persona. It is about going from your conscious mind to your heart, your authentic heart, not your human heart. It is about going to that as the motive for your relationship. I always look at people's motives for relationship. And when I see what their motives are, then I understand what they're trying to accomplish with each other. And for the most part, it's go along to get along kind of mentality. And that's the best love they have. But if you're going to live in that kind of direness inside of you, that dire place within your mind, your emotions, you're never going to mature. The whole object, Rick, is to unfold, mature. It is to come to the place where instead of being married to someone because they make you feel at least not alone with yourself, they make you feel quote-unquote good, you're going to miss the whole idea of the relationship and what it truly means. And that's what most people do. They don't get it. Not at all. They don't understand it, and they don't get it, and they don't want to get it. They just want to feel better. People get married out of instinct, and that's not a very good means for maturing. So to go back to your question, how do I adjust my personality to fit the woman I love? It's to fit your heart, your authentic heart, not the woman. You have to mature past the idea of pleasing a woman and start realizing I am not here to please her. I am here to awaken to love, to authentic love. And if you've already arrived at the idea that you already know what love is and you already know what this relationship is really all about in that context, then you're doomed. And it'll never work. And that's what most people do. They never question their love. Why? My God, I said I love you. Isn't that enough? Well, what does that mean? And to be honest, most people have to look at themselves and go, I don't love, I need. And I've confused the whole idea of love with need. And that's sad. That's really sad. And that's where we go, because most people just can't get it. Rick, I could go into hours and hours of this with you, but I won't and I can't. But maybe one day you'll realize the wisdom here of going not to please her, but to awaken your authentic heart. And a lot of that has to do, my dear man, with futility. And that's another subject altogether. Please forgive me. Namaste. Oh, I feel for him. Oh, I do. I feel very deeply for him. We have no idea what relationship is. Do you really think you're in a relationship with your wife or your husband because you love them? Really? If you do, there's nothing I could say to talk you out of it. Next question is from Harold in Del Mar, California, where partly I came from. What do I do with personality that doesn't get along with mine? What do I do with it? Well, you have to see what that personality is connected to. You have to understand the nature of that personality, and you have to understand where you're connected and to what persona you are connected to. So when you take a look at your personality and you look at what it is comprised of, Some people like to think that you take an inventory of your personality and you start to read about it and blah, blah, blah. Everybody, now listen to me, Harold, here, pay attention. Everybody has different personas. Everybody. You have a persona when you're sick. You have a persona when you're well. You have a persona when you're happy. You have a persona when you're not so happy. You have a persona when you're angry, and you have a persona when you're not angry. There are so many personalities in us. We are a legion, as Jesus said, of personalities. A legion. So you got to understand about personality. Everybody has multiple personalities. Some are very explicit, dramatic, excessive, compulsive, and others are a little more mild. But they're still all in that range that I just said. So what you've got to understand within yourself is the more vanilla you can become, the more watchful, just watching. Difficult personalities, I face them every day in session work, in the public. There are so many different kinds of difficulties with personality. So what you want to do is I go vanilla. That's what I call it. I drop my prefaces, the things I work from. I drop my biases. I watch Greg, and that's the best way I can describe this. And you have to move into third person. And you have to look at it from the point of view that your persona is interpreting their persona. And that's not the right place to be. The way to do it is for you and me to go into third person. In third person, where I am no longer in conflict, even with myself, just watching without being prejudiced or judgmental about anything, with no bias whatsoever, just watch. Just watch. Observe. Don't want to change anything. Just watch. Watch yourself. Maybe the person you're engaging that you don't particularly like a lot is a form of you that you've never realized before. Maybe it's a form of some genetic thing, or it brings about a memory of some even past life. You wouldn't even know it was a past life. You would just know this is really uncomfortable, or this is really ugly, or this da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever it is. Just watch. Make no judgment towards this person, because you may be looking at yourself. You may be looking in the mirror. And if that is the case, you want to gain as much insight towards yourself as you can get to understand, why do I sit in this posture looking at this person in this way? Why do I do that? What is it about them that made me possible in their life and vice versa? Just observe. Don't come to a conclusion. The worst thing we do in inner work is we come to conclusions looking for answers to serve our intellect and to oftentimes let us off the hook. You just have to see it for what it is. And when you see it for what it is and how it is and how it works, then you will understand how far you can go with someone and bring about, let's say, a chance for reconciliation, a chance for healing with them, a chance of forgiveness. You will see how far you can go. And if you can't go very far, which you won't be able to with most people, I can guarantee it, then you know where you stand, and you forgive them, and you only give them what basically, they can accept, and that would be very little. And that means you don't have intimate conversations with them. You don't pour yourself out to them. You don't explain yourself. You don't do any of that. You just listen. And if it's your boss or somebody you have to work with, you just do what I call yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, whatever. And you just obey. And you do what you're supposed to do as you're supposed to do it. And while you're doing that, you watch and see what's going on in thee, as I like to think. You just observe. You will start to see things about your own personality from those who have very difficult personalities. And you will start to understand your resistance, your identity with your ego, your vanity, your pride. You will start to see all that relationship, and then you have to evaluate for yourself whether or not you go with that or not, whether or not that's going to be the ultimate criteria for your life and how you're going to live with yourself. Difficult people are very important. You give them a chance to reconcile with you. You also need to reconcile with your own authentic heart, and that is the big one. And I hope, Harold, you could hear me this morning because it's very, very important. Words in the wind, please forgive me. Namaste. Running out of time here. Last question. What part of me is my persona? And this is from Craig. He does not tell me where he lives. What part of me is my personality? Craig, in the deepest sense of the word, there is no me or you. We create personas out of our biology and out of our genetic heritage, our relationship with our bodies, our DNA. All of that has to do with what we call the me. When you go into third person, as I said to Harold, and you start to simply observe, you won't need a me. You won't need a you. And if you sit down quietly with yourself and ask, what do I need this me for? Really, just that in itself is such a powerful quest to say, what do I need this me for? Well, it's for identity. It's to separate me from you. You from me, Buku Kuchu, I'm a walrus, the Beatles, I don't know if you know who they were. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. That's why you need to understand there is no need for me or you. This is one of the ugliest things we do. We often think in terms of you are different from me. Well, that may appear to be true, but it is not true, not at all. Not even remotely true. Nobody comes into our life by accident. Nobody is in our life by accident. And we excuse people or kick them out of our life whenever they don't show us what we want to see about ourselves. So the thing that is most important is that you remain neutral, like I always say, vanilla about it all. Nati nati, as we say, neither this, neither that. Just observing, just watching, not wanting to change, not wanting improvement, just watching. If you can just watch and observe without the need for there to be right and wrong, good and bad, you will see that everybody brings to you your persona. And deep inside that persona is assumption. Nothing but a lot of assumption. In those assumptions lie the war plans for your life, your entire life. And I say war plans because we make war with our elements. We make war with each other. We make war. We don't make the place where love can reach us. Rather, we make conflict. Oh, I could go on and on and on about that one. I hope that helps you. I really do. It's a difficult subject to just sit here and do on radio, and I ran out of time. So I hope that helps. And listen, Craig, if you need more, call me, and I will talk to you about it on the phone, always. Well, thank you for listening. I gotta go. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.